This podcast was recorded on Thursday, March 31st at 10:01 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear it. Like, we maybe could have some certainty about an election that's now only about a month away. Let's talk politics. This is Snolly Goster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those shrewd Snolly Gosters who draft unconstitutional legislative maps and then ask a federal court for help. I'm Steve Brown, going solo today as my co-host Mike Thompson takes another week of much-needed vacation. You might want to sit down to hear this. It's going to be shocking, I know, but Ohio still does not have constitutional legislative maps. You know the story. The first three versions of state House and Senate district maps were ruled unconstitutional by the Ohio Supreme Court because, as the majority of members of the court said, they illegally favored Republicans. Last weekend brought more last-minute negotiations, people closely watching computer screens as newly hired independent mapmakers drew maps in this more open and bipartisan process. And then, because, of course, most of the Republicans on the Ohio Redistricting Commission said we're out of time, we have to meet the Supreme Court's deadline of midnight Monday night, and they reverted to maps previously ruled unconstitutional. But they did make some minor changes, and the majority of members who voted for the maps contend they are legal at this point. Where to begin? Here to help us understand this is the woman who had the unfortunate task of watching an hours-long virtual federal court hearing on Wednesday. My God, that sounds terrible. Ohio Public Radio's Karen Kassler, the State House News Bureau Chief. Karen, welcome back to Snolly Goster.
Hey, it's great to be here.
It's good to have you. So I hesitate to even ask you the latest because it will probably change, but what is the latest regarding these legislative maps?
Well, after that hours-long hearing in federal court, and it's a three-judge panel that is together hearing the case that was filed by some Republican voters led by lobbyist and Ohio Right to Life President Mike Gunadakis, who claim that their rights are being violated if there are no maps because they're not able to vote. So they want the court to do something to restore their right to vote for state House and Senate districts. And the suggestion was initially from this group that the court institute the third set of legislative maps. Those maps were ruled unconstitutional by the Ohio Supreme Court. Well, since then, there's a fourth set of maps now that you just talked about there. And so the judges are trying to decide and had been trying to decide what to do, where to go with this if they even wanted to get involved. So after that hours-long hearing where we heard from Mike Gunadakis, where we heard from representatives from the Secretary of State's office, the judges decided not to get involved. They decided to wait and see what the Ohio Supreme Court does with that fourth set of maps. And like you said in the intro, that fourth set of maps is a tweaking of the third set of maps instead of a total revamp of those maps, because the Redistricting Commission hired some outside map makers to come in and draw brand new maps, but those maps were not accepted by the four Republicans on the Redistricting Commission who voted for the tweaked set of maps, and those are the ones that'll go forward. Now, interestingly enough, there's also a suit that's been filed by the people who've been challenging these maps all along, the League of Women Voters and the ACLU of Ohio. They say the Redistricting Commission should be held in contempt for approving that set of maps since they were told to draw new maps. So all of this continues on with the uncertainty of what happens on May 3rd with the primary and with early voting starting next week.
So in the last couple of weeks, people grew a little more optimistic, I think I would say, when they brought in these independent map makers and they hired outside mediators to possibly negotiate any disputes. And all the work was being broadcast on these computers, right? That kind of went viral because they had cameras trained on computers so people could see all the map making that was going on in public. And then they did an about face and they reverted to these old maps. Do we know why the independent maps were rejected? Was it just, they say it was a matter of time, right? But they get any more specific than that?
Well, I mean, certainly there are going to be people who say that the independent map makers, the outside map makers, and they aren't in a sense completely independent because one was hired by the Democrats, one was hired by the Republicans. But these outside map makers who are experts in doing this, they came up with maps that you know, certain folks might say, hey, they don't benefit Republicans as much. And so maybe that's why they were rejected. But the line that we've gotten from Republicans has been, hey, there wasn't enough time. This is a complicated process. And so we decided to tweak maps that we felt were already constitutional. The court didn't. And we've decided to make those changes. But again, there was a real question about the process of putting that together. And you talked about their MapStream, MapOvision, whatever you, the live stream camera
my favorite was
out of the State House.
My favorite was Only Maps.
Only Maps, sure. That was an interesting window into the process that I think advocates who had been pushing for this all along were looking at that and saying, this is what we're talking about. This is what we always wanted to see, this being done in public, not behind closed doors. But in the end, the maps that were approved by four members of the Redistricting Commission, four Republicans, were not the ones that were drawn in that transparent process. They were the ones that were tinkered with, that had come from the other process that the advocates had said, hey, that's not what voters had wanted. And so it's yet another situation where these advocates are very frustrated and they continue to fight these maps, saying that they just don't believe that they are not unconstitutionally gerrymandered.
And they were presumably successful in having this Monday hearing where the people who voted for these maps, maybe the entire commission in general, I guess I'm not sure, will have to prove why they were not in contempt of court. And do we expect a perp walk of sorts on Monday? Will they have, you know, will
well,
it be like
it's just a, it's just a filing deadline. It's not a hearing.
I see.
And so, but what I think is interesting here is the last time the issue of contempt came up, this was Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor back in February saying that the members of the Redistricting Commission should have to show why they shouldn't be held in contempt for blowing through a map deadline and not passing any maps. Again, that was back in February. Well, a dissent was then filed by the other Republicans on the court saying that Maureen O'Connor didn't have the authority to order that contempt hearing, that really the court had to vote on whether there should be a contempt hearing. And so I wouldn't be surprised if another dissent was issued by specifically Justice Sharon Kennedy, who was the one who put the dissent out last time saying that O'Connor did not have the authority to do this. So that whole issue of whether contempt will even come up again may not really be something that we'll be dealing with next week. So much is uncertain here. And again, early voting starts on Tuesday, on April 5th. I mean,
it's absurd. It's crazy.
The voter registration deadline is Monday. And that's the thing that voter advocates are now talking about is, okay, we don't know what's going to happen with the May primary. Right now, the state House and Senate districts are not on the May primary. We don't know when we're going to vote on those. It appears that the May primary would go forward with, say, the governor, U.S. Senate, the Supreme Court, those races. So the important thing is, if you are not registered to vote or you're concerned about your voter registration, to check that out now, because that may be a deadline that won't change. And so at least you know you're registered to vote. So that's one thing that voter advocates are now turning to, saying in all this chaos, the one thing that people can do is at least check their voter registration.
So the one thing we do know basically is that the legislative races will not be on the May 3rd primary. So the primary will either be delayed or they will hold a second primary for those races.
Right.
Turning now to the congressional districts, which is that complicates everything here even more. Where do these congressional maps stand? The first version of these also deemed unconstitutionally gerrymandered by the Ohio Supreme Court.
Well, you've got two tracks that voter advocates are using to fight the congressional map. You've got the voter advocates who say they want to challenge the congressional map for this year. And then you've got the other group of voters, specifically League of Women Voters and ACLU, who say, we just don't have time to challenge the map for this year. We're going to focus on challenging that congressional map for 2024. And they say it's painful. They have to go through a election process where they feel the map is rigged, but they say the election calendar just does not allow them to have a challenge to those maps this calendar year. Because, I mean, every time you set an election date, you have to back up 60 or 90 or however many days to allow candidates to file, to allow for overseas and military ballots, and to allow elections officials to set these ballots. I mean, each time in each county, there are potentially thousands of different ballots because of things like levies and liquor options and all sorts of other questions. And so just deleting a race or adding a race is not something that elections officials can do. And so for right now, it appears that the congressional map will, the one that was the second version, that will stay in effect. And that's the one that voters will see for the primary coming up and for the general in the fall. The question is whether that's a map that Democrats will do well in. It, there are some experts who are predicting it could be a 13-2 sweep for Republicans. But there are some districts that are more swingy and more competitive. So it could be an 11-4. We don't know. And the advocates were really hoping to have some challenge to that this year, but it just doesn't look like that's going
to
happen.
And again, to remind voters, Ohio is split about 54% to 46% how people voted in the last 10 years in statewide elections. We are a pink state. We're not a red state, really. We're a pink state. And so that's why this has been so frustrating to voters' rights advocates. And we should say also that this is done in states where Democrats hold control as well. New York has one of the most gerrymandered maps in the country. It's happened in Michigan, Maine, Illinois as well. This is a political problem across the spectrum. State Hawks correspondent Karen Kassler taking a few minutes out of her busy schedule to give us the latest on redistricting. Lord knows the situation will change next time we talk again. Karen, thanks again for joining Snollygoster.
Hey, it's always great to be with you. Thanks.
We'll be right back.
WOSU Public Media podcasts are made possible thanks to listener support. All of our digital content, such as Snollygoster and the All Sides of the Ann Fisher podcast, depend on the generosity of listeners like you. You can give at WOSU.org or through the WOSU mobile app. And thanks.
Welcome back to Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week Award, which we give out to the week's shrewdest politician or political move. We are digging back a little bit in the calendar this week to get back to Maureen O'Connor, the Chief Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court, who was just mentioned by Karen Kassler there. Her independent, her swing vote, I guess you could say, regarding the legislative maps here in Ohio, has at least one Republican floating the idea of impeaching Maureen O'Connor. Representative Scott Wiggum tweeted, quote, "It is time to impeach Maureen O'Connor now for doing her job, for writing an opinion that said these very obviously gerrymandered legislative districts are unconstitutional and that they should be more fair. They should reflect the voters of Ohio, not to favor Democrats, but they should reflect the overall electorate in Ohio." Scott Wiggum thinks that Maureen O'Connor should be impeached, evidently. So, Scott Wiggum, even though you tweeted this 2 weeks ago, you are still our Snollygoster of the Week. If you have a suggestion for next week, you can send it to snollygoster@wosu.org. As always, be sure to leave us a good review on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. And please, just tell your buddies about us. Get the word out. For our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Steve Brown on Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.